Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with an article from AARP, The Bulletin. This was entitled, Ukraine Refugees Are Resilient. They make the journey with strength and determined hearts. This Janelle Eli is a Red Cross spokeswoman who gives an eyewitness account from Poland and Romania of older refugees forced to flee the fighting. From what you see, what percentage of those Ukrainians fleeing their country due to the Russian invasion are older? Even before this most recent conflict, the United Nations declared the crisis in the eastern part of Ukraine the oldest in the world, since 30% of people in need of humanitarian assistance and protection were older adults. But so far, the people who have been able to escape the war and reach help have been generally younger. Even though older people are disproportionately affected by conflict, it's typically more difficult for them to flee for a variety of reasons. Many older adults lack the mobility, health resources, or the will to leave the only home they've ever known. Tell us what you've learned about the older refugees who have chosen to leave. Many people have been displaced multiple times. Some moved to towns within Ukraine considered safer, and then had to leave again when bombing began. Fleeing your home once is devastating. Imagine finding safety and then having to leave again. It's crushing on so many levels. What are some of the unique issues facing older Ukrainians who are now refugees? Depending on health conditions, they can be more vulnerable to abuse and neglect during crises and disasters. People on the move have trouble accessing routine care and prescription medications, which can exacerbate illness and chronic conditions. On the migration route, it can even be hard to find simple things like a chair or a bed that's easy to get in and out of. Have there been any small things that surprised you about the needs of the refugees? I guess this shouldn't have been something to surprise me, but it did. One of the most common items people request from the Red Cross when they cross into safety is lip balm. Temperatures have been bitterly cold, and people fleeing have had days or weeks on the move. Refugee crises typically have unique challenges. What's the biggest need where you are now? As this conflict continues, we're seeing more and more families arrive with less and less. Red Cross teams have been working 24/7 at border crossings to provide diapers, hygiene items, wheelchairs, strollers, warm gloves, and other necessities. Many who have crossed the border simply ask for a cup of coffee or tea. A hot drink and a warm welcome is what many of those fleeing appreciate the most. Our teams are offering SIM cards and mobile charging stations to help people who have been separated from their loved ones in Ukraine to reconnect. Simple aid like this offers families peace of mind during some of the worst days of their lives. How about the next phase? As we continue to ramp up support for people impacted by the conflict in Ukraine, the distribution of cash will become a major component of the Red Cross, Red Crescent response. Cash is a critical part of a person's ability to cope, since it empowers them to make decisions about items to purchase that best meet their individual needs. Are most families arriving together? Few older adults are traveling on their own. Most I've seen have been accompanied by younger family members, daughters, grandkids, nieces, cousins. So many people fleeing Ukraine take only what they can carry. Those with reduced strength just can't bring anything except the clothes on their backs and food and water to sustain them. Of course, older adults are resilient, and many make the journey with strength and determined hearts. We've seen older adults traveling with their young grandchildren in search of safety. Those grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, and uncles have engaged every cell in their body to get their loved ones to safety. What are you hearing of those left behind? We met one woman whose mother stayed in her village despite pleas to flee. After weeks of bombardment, her home was destroyed, though luckily she survived. Her daughter was traveling back into Ukraine to rescue her and bring her to safety. The daughter couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, couldn't find any peace of mind until her mother was at her side. We saw her cross back into Ukraine, and I can only hope she will be able to get her mother out and to safety. Are you seeing older people helping out in the crisis? Here at the border, many volunteers are over age 60, and they're using their expertise to ensure families fleeing Ukraine get the welcome and the aid they need. These older volunteers are working overnight shifts, loading trucks, leading teams, and standing in the freezing cold to carry out this critical humanitarian mission. Eli, who's 39, is the spokeswoman for the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. She is from Hubbard, Ohio. Now we're going to move on to AARP, the magazine, and an article that we had started entitled, You Asked, We Answered. This section is entitled, Resisting Disease. It's an AARP exclusive survey on health and aging. I have hypertension. Are blood pressure cuffs worth the money? Yes. A 2021 study over 10 years of 11,502 people, ages 45 to 60, showed that those with the lowest cumulative systolic BP readings lived 4.1 years longer and delayed heart disease by 5.4 years. Measuring your blood pressure frequently reminds you to do the things needed to keep it at a healthy range. What's the first sign of heart disease? It's plural. Usual fatigue and sleep problems, as well as shortness of breath, indigestion, and chest pain, especially if you experience those symptoms during exercise. But they go away once you're at rest, said Suzanne Steinbaum, an osteopathic preventive cardiologist. The average age for a first heart attack for men is 65.6. For women, it's 72. Skip the I'm getting older or I'm just out of shape talk and get yourself to the doctor. About that nightly glass of wine. A little bit of vino is still good for my heart, right? Maybe not. For years, there's been a lot of hype around the idea that a nightly drink, or perhaps nutrients found in red wine, reduces disease risk. Several organizations, such as the Mayo Clinic, still endorse that idea. But that's never been the official position of the American Heart Association. Indeed, the AHA's stance is that it doesn't recommend drinking wine or any other form of alcohol to gain potential health benefits. Research is beginning to coalesce around the idea that light or moderate drinking may not help to prevent heart disease, so much so that the World Heart Federation declared a 2022 policy brief that no level of alcohol is safe for your heart health. How about marijuana? Everyone seems to be using it these days, and now it's legal in many states. But is it safe? Not as safe as it used to be. A meta-analysis of studies found that pot potency, its THC level specifically, rose 24% from 1975 to 2017. Research has also shown that cannabis use by older people is on the rise. So, what happens when more potent pot meets higher usage? Trouble. A JAMA review of studies of more than 1,400 people, 50 and older, found that higher doses of THC were associated with a higher incidence of thinking and perception issues, not the good kind, as well as dizziness. I have the occasional cigarette. Does that really matter? Yes. A review of 141 studies show that people who smoke just one cigarette a day still have half the heart disease risk of people who smoke 20. Does prediabetes mean you definitely are going to get diabetes? There are no guarantees, but there's a lot of evidence that making lifestyle changes now can dramatically reverse the direction of your that your health is headed in. For example, preliminary results of a 2022 study of over 8,700 people showed a strong relationship between cardiorespiratory fitness and new onset type 2 diabetes. The higher the fitness level, the lower the type 2 incidence. What's a simple tech-free way to measure my health? Waist to height ratio. Research on people with type 2 diabetes has shown that a waist to height ratio was more accurate than a waist to hip ratio, or BMI, in predicting high blood pressure. Strive for a waist circumference that's less than half your height. How much should I worry about cancer in my 60s? Be vigilant. Your 60s are prime time for cancer. With diagnosis rates roughly doubling between ages 59 and 69. Also, the median age for a cancer diagnosis is 66. The good news, cancer mortality rates have fallen about 32% since 1992, with an overall five-year survival rate of 68%. So, if cancer runs in my family, I should get screened regularly? If you're asking about those blood tests or full body scans that claim to pinpoint cancer before you have any symptoms, the Food and Drug Administration says these are bunk. They may detect problems that don't need to be treated and expose your body to unneeded radiation. That said, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends screening for several types of cancer, including breast, cervical, colorectal, and lung. There is evidence showing that screening tests can catch these cancers early and make a difference in treatment and survival. What about prostate cancer? Should I get a PSA test? Yes. Prostate cancer is the most common cancer in men besides skin cancer, and 40% of cases hit men before age 65. Black men have double the risk of dying from prostate cancer and tend to get it younger. Having a father or brother with prostate cancer also doubles your risk. Nearly 99% of prostate cases, however, are treatable if they're caught early. And don't panic if your PSA is elevated. Most men who have an elevated PSA don't have cancer. And only 25% of prostate biopsies find cancer, according to the National Institutes of Health. My mother was legally blind when she died. How do I protect my eyes as I get older? Eat better. Exercise. Maintain a healthy weight. Control your blood pressure. Don't smoke. All of these help protect your heart and your brain. And they'll improve your visual longevity too, says Kenneth Dickerson, a doctor of optometry at the University of Rochester's Flom Eye Institute. Even more important, pop into the eye doctor's office for a dilated eye exam every year. The eyes are the only part of the body where docs can directly examine a blood vessel. When something is off, it can signal potential eye issues down the line. Many eye diseases are silent sight stealers. Without a doctor's inspection, you don't know you have a condition until it's at an advanced stage. Speaking of senses, what can I do about my damn tinnitus? There are no sanctioned treatments. Still, ask your doctor about neuromodulation, in which a device simultaneously delivers electric stimulation to the tongue and auditory signals to both ears. A 2020 study found that this type of therapy reduces tinnitus symptoms over a 12-week period. Question 7. Your 50-year-old table fan has a frayed power cord. The hardware store has a new fan for $15, but you buy a $3 replacement cord instead. You then spend 3 hours disassembling, cleaning, and repairing the old fan. What does this episode tell you about your thriftiness? 1. Penny pinching is a good habit, but you've gone overboard. 2. If you value your time at more than $4 an hour, you have misplaced priorities. 3. Anytime you can save $12, you should do it. 4. None of the above. Answer is D. None of the above. Or 4. Sure, just as there are impulsive spenders, there are impulsive savers. But that's probably not the issue here. It may be that you enjoy tinkering, or that the fan is a cherished hand-me-down, or that you prefer its metal construction to the mostly plastic new unit. In other words, fixing the fan may simply reflect your personality and your life values. It may be more important for you to tinker and save the money there, and then have more money to give to your grandkids. Not wanting to spend $12 then doesn't make you a cheapskate. And finally, question 8. You've been invited to a destination wedding for the only child of your oldest, dearest friend. This would be a great time to spend a week with your bestie, whom you haven't seen in person for years. You can afford to go, but it's upsetting to spend $300 a night for a room at the resort where the wedding is. What's the best way to proceed? 1. Life is short. RSVP yes and enjoy a wonderful week. 2. Send your regrets along with a note to your BFF proposing a more economical joint vacation down the road. 3. Go to the resort, but don't stay the whole week, just the days around the ceremony. 4. Go to the wedding, but stay at a cheaper hotel near the resort. Answer is A. Life is short. RSVP yes and enjoy a wonderful week. Money vigilance is good, but it can go too far. Ironically, many people who save so diligently for the future find themselves unable to spend their savings once the future arrives. One exercise this person uses to help his clients get over a fear of spending is to make them buy an expensive sandwich. Then I ask them, "Are you bankrupt now?" This is what psychologists call exposure therapy, confronting in small controlled doses the thing that you fear most. That's part of the intervention, surfacing an awareness that you have this intense feeling about saving and acknowledging that you're okay financially because you have been careful with money. So, do you need to be carrying around this much anxiety? If it's something you can afford, focus on your values, on what matters most to you. You have been such a diligent saver for this exact reason, so that you can spend time with the people you love the most. Scorekeeping. Give yourselves 1 point for each of your answers that matches our expert's choice. 7 to 8 points, hooray, you have the gift of thrift. 3 to 6 points, you're on the path to money mastery. 0 to 2 points, consider mending your spending. Now we have time for a look at some real people. And again, this is AARP, the magazine. A force for good, rebel, rebel. Why Sean Crosby drives a homemade spaceship. When I was a kid, my distance vision was terrible, so I couldn't play sports. Instead, I would read science fiction magazines and try to recreate the things I saw in them, using junk from around the house. Star Wars came out in 1977, and it struck a huge chord with me. Who didn't want to leave home and save the galaxy? I came to know the characters as well as anyone knows their favorite team. At 32, my eyes had corrected themselves enough that I could finally get my driver's license. I decided that I wanted to drive a spaceship. So I outfitted a car to look like a Star Wars starfighter. I called it a car fighter. This Nissan 350Z is my second one. Everything on it is repurposed. The wheel covers are modified pizza pans, and the guns are baseball bats. Through community theater, I had started doing charity appearances, playing characters from movies, including Star Wars. I went from supporting a handful of local groups to working with national charities like Make-A-Wish. I've portrayed a young Luke Skywalker, then a young Obi-Wan Kenobi, and now I play the older Ben Kenobi, or the older Luke Skywalker from The Last Jedi. The one constant has been the enjoyment of the people I interact with. One little boy who I used to donate platelets to had terminal cancer and would eventually pass away. But for the years I could donate to him, he had the encouragement of getting his Jedi blood from Obi-Wan. That's me. Some people ask, why don't you act more grown up? That's a limiting frame of mind. We all need imagination, adventure, and whimsy in our lives. And this was as told to Leslie Quander Wooldridge. Artist, actor, and radio show host Sean Crosby, 54, has appeared for free at more than 2,500 charity events, visiting schools, libraries, children's hospitals, and military bases. And there is a picture of him in this car that he's adapted with a big smile on his face. He's got a beard, and he's got Yoda in the seat next to him. And one more. I wanted a totally different life. Cafe owner Kenny Kim went from night owl to early bird and from sad to happy. For 25 years, I was a car salesman. I sold Mercedes-Benzes and Lincolns. The money was very good, but it was really stressful. You stay out late, often till after midnight. You drink a lot, you smoke a lot, and you have to smile when you sell a car. You have to be happy. But all the pressure made me impatient at home. I acted angry. Eventually, about 12 years ago, my wife divorced me and my son wanted nothing to do with me. After the divorce, I couldn't smile. Customers would come in, all happy, buying a car for their family. But every time I sold a car, I cried afterward. I decided I had to quit my job, quit drinking, do the opposite of everything I had been doing. I wanted a totally different life. In 2012, I took money from my retirement fund and bought a small hamburger shop. I turned it into a breakfast and lunch cafe with dishes from America and South Korea, where I was born. Now, I go to bed early because I open at 6. And you know what? I started smiling again. My customers work in construction, at tech companies, and at the nearby San Jose airport. And when new customers come in, I take their picture. I tell them it's a souvenir. I use my iPhone, and then I get the pictures printed and tape them to the walls or the ceiling of the cafe. So far, there are around 22,000 photos on my wall. That's a lot of smiles. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast after our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. Thank you again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.